Appreciate the beautiful song this morning. Special songs make for special services. Appreciate you singing for the Lord this morning. I'd like to this morning look at a scripture, 1 Kings, the 13th chapter and the 8th verse. And I won't read the whole count this morning, but I wanted to start off. The children of Israel have been straying, and Jeroboam was king. But the Lord sent a man of God from Judah to the king, and he prophesied. You remember, he prophesied against the altar, and they'd been following strange gods, and the altar broke, and the ashes came down, and Jeroboam stretched forth his hand to told him to seize this man, and he stretched forth his hand, and it became dried up or leprous. And so the man of God prayed for him, and his hand was turned back. But the Lord had told this prophet not to stay there. He said, go and prophesy, but he said, don't eat any bread or drink any water in that place. You leave. And that's what he was to do. He was to go in, prophesy, and leave. He wasn't to stay there. Well, the king asked him to stay night and offered to reward him. And he said, if you gave me half of your house, I wouldn't stay night because God commanded me not to eat bread or drink water in this place. And so you remember the account, he went on and he left the place, but another prophet had heard, his sons came home and they had heard about what had happened. And he said, well, which way did he go? And so they pointed the direction, and this prophet went to speak with the man of God that God had sent from Judah. And he basically told him the same thing. He wanted him to come and eat, but he said, I can't. The Lord told me not to stay here. So this prophet had it in his mind. He knew what God had told him to do. The instruction was clear. The Lord had told him that. He had said it several different times. Verse 15, he said, then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. I don't really know why the Lord told him all these directions. He told him to go prophesy. I don't really know specifically altogether, and the scriptures really doesn't say. But the Lord gave him instructions not to eat bread there and not to drink water there. But this man, in verse 18, he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Now he told the prophet, he told him, he said, well, I'm a prophet like you. And I saw an angel last night that said unto me that I'm supposed to bring you back and you're supposed to eat bread and drink water in mine house. But the man never saw an angel. That wasn't what the Lord was requiring. And I'm thinking this morning that when there's things that are contrary to what God wants in our lives, we better be real cautious. We better be leery. We better be on alert. This man was influenced. It wasn't like this man was Samuel or somebody that was known. But he influenced this man to come back. And we know the story after that, the next day when he was leaving, that he was slew by a lion. Now, I want to talk a little bit about influences this morning. There are some dangerous influences in life that have the power to slay us, spiritually speaking, that have the power to take the very spiritual life out of our being. Influences can do that. And we need to be careful because we live in a world that's filled with many kinds of influences in the world today. Some are good, but most of them are not. And they have, the thing about an influence is that there's a power about an influence. I want to read the definition of influence. An emanation of spiritual or moral force. The act or power of producing an effect without apparent exertion or force or direct exercise of command. This prophet didn't force this man of God to come back by gunpoint or by sword or knife. He just said, an angel appeared to me. That exerted a force. That exerted a temptation for that man. That's what influences do. It's not like something is just standing over us and forcing us to do something, but it's a subtle thing. It's not easily seen. Sometimes we struggle on knowing where is this coming from. That's an influence. The act or power of producing an effect without apparent exertion of force or direct exercise of command. The power or capacity of causing an effect in indirect or intangible ways. Sway. Those are definitions of influence. We don't live in a neutral world today. We don't live in a world where there's a song that we sing, it says, 10,000 foes arise, and hosts of hell are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. In other words, to draw us from a spiritual life, to draw us from a life of devotion, a life of purity, a life of holiness unto God. There are forces, there are influences in the world that are trying to pull and trying to draw us from that very thing. And we want to recognize that influences can have power. We want to recognize as we go through life, where's this influence? Where's this coming from? We want to look at things and try to trace them back to the source. Where's it coming from? Where's this thought? Where's this influence, this power, this sway that I feel? What's it coming from this morning? Very vital that we recognize that we live in a world of influences. We influence one another. People influence one another. We're all susceptible to influence in some form or another. And our challenge today is to be influenced in the right direction, the right way, to be influenced for good. There's good influences, but there's also subtle influences that will draw us away from a life of devotion, a life of consecration, a life of submission to God's will in our hearts and our lives. Are influences at work that will begin to draw us away. And this man lost his natural life, but I want to say that you and I can lose our spiritual life through yielding to the wrong influences and giving them place in our heart, in our life. God blessed this man. You know, God told him, go prophesy, and he obeyed. He did what the Lord told him to do most of the way. But there was influence that took him. And you know, we're not exempt. We're not exempt this morning. Doesn't matter how long you've lived for God. It doesn't matter how great of works God has done for you in your life. It doesn't matter how many great revelations that you have. You are still susceptible to the powers of influence and sway. And we want to be on guard in our Christian life. Is this influence godly influence? Is it a righteous influence? Is it going to draw me closer to God? Is it going to help me in my spiritual life? Or is it going to be a detriment to me? Is it going to put me in a place of greater temptation? Is it going to be something that's going to harm me in my spiritual life? We got to look at it this way. We got to think about these things, not just go along and think, well, this looks like a good thing. And we just kind of go along. We need to pray about the influences that surround us and that affect us. Another scripture I want to get here in the same book, 1 Kings 11th chapter. And the first verse, 1 Kings 11 and 1, it said, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." What happened to Solomon? You know, Solomon started out real well. You know, Solomon had a godly father, David. You read the Proverbs, and David taught him, "My son, attend to the words of my mouth. Walk not in the way of evil men. Neither go with them. Pass by it." He had a good start in life. He had a mother that loved him. He said, "I was tender and only beloved in the sight of my," I believe it was my mother. He had a good start. He had instruction. He had guidance in the way of knowing which way to go. Being able to recognize between good and evil. And oh, I recall the time when he was just becoming king as a young man. And he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I'm a child. I don't know how to go in and come out." And he said, "Would you give me wisdom?" Solomon had a good heart. He loved the Lord. It looked like things were going well for him. But influences. The Lord told them a long time ago when they came in the land of Canaan, He said, "Don't marry their daughters. And don't give your sons to be married to them." You know, who we marry is very important in life. Our companion will probably be one of the biggest influences that we have in life. And I'll make a statement here that you may not agree with, but I believe I've lived long enough to see it, that if you don't marry right, you don't marry a person of faith, you don't marry somebody that's really in love with God and wants to serve God and put God first, your likelihood of making heaven your home becomes very, very slim. Very slim. The odds are against you. That's how serious it is. You may think, "Well, I'm in love." You better think about who you're in love with. And the Lord commanded them a long time ago, don't marry the heathen. Those that don't know the Lord, those that don't have a relationship, He said, they'll turn your hearts. Now, I don't know, Solomon said he clave to these in love. Started out, I believe, with Pharaoh's daughter of Egypt. Look good. You know, Brother Cliff told us Wednesday night, the devil doesn't show us the other side of the picture. He likes to just show you the glamour side, what looks good. He doesn't show you the backside of the picture. That's what the Scripture here is showing us here this morning. The end of Solomon. Started out, looked good. Pharaoh's daughter, probably beautiful. Probably had expectation of having children and an alliance with Egypt, and things were going well. But she wasn't a woman of faith. She didn't love the Lord. She wasn't brought up like Solomon was brought up. She didn't see things like Solomon saw things. And it said he clave to these in love. Now I'll say it doesn't take a multitude of them either. But the day in and day out influence. It doesn't say exactly when. It just says, I believe here it says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old. Maybe he did good for a lot of years. Maybe he kept on serving the Lord for a long time in his life. You know, that challenges me this morning when I think about that. Maybe I've lived for the Lord a long time, half of my life. And I guess, let's see, I'm 48. I have. I'm 48. I started when I was 18. I've lived for the Lord now 30 years. You know, I am still subject to influences. And I've got to watch them. Solomon, when he was old, it said his wives turned away his heart from the Lord. Probably never thought it would have been possible telling him that as a young person. You know, Solomon, when you get old, you're not going to live for the Lord. You know what Solomon did? He went as far as to build temples right there at Jerusalem. Temples to Baal. Idol goddesses. Heathen gods. Temples right there at Jerusalem. Right there in the sight of all Israel. You would have told him that when he was younger. He would have said, far be it. But the power of influences have a way of working over time. Day in and day out. Can you hear Solomon's wives? Oh, sweetheart. You know, the gods that are the gods of Egypt, you know that we serve that with, you know, look how Egypt is strong too. And so the gods of Baal that we serve down there, whoever their god was, you know, they're pretty good. Oh, Solomon, could we just erect a little... Solomon probably at first just forget it. But gradually, over a period of time, it began to wear away on him. Just like Samson. Samson is another one, isn't it? You know, the wife that he chose, the Scriptures that talked about his parents were grieved. It grieved his parents. Lord, isn't there a daughter among our people that you can find? Isn't there a daughter among the people you can find? Why do you have to go to the Philistines? Oh, but she looks good. She pleases me. I'm attracted. Better be careful. You better watch. Influences are powerful. You may think, well, I'll convert them. I'll influence them. I'll get them and I'll get them to serve and see things like I do. Oh, that's a mistake. That's a big mistake. That's jeopardy. No, marry in the Lord. The Scripture talks about marrying in the Lord. Did I mention that? I'm thankful this morning that God has blessed me with a godly companion. I'm thankful that I sought God for her. I prayed. I cried, Lord, if it's not Your will, I don't want it. I got down on my knees. We prayed. I'm sure she did too. Lord, if You're not in it, we don't want it. You got to be careful. Because our companion, I look back in my life now and I think of the good influence and I think of the blessing that she has been, the encouragement that I have received from her. Times that I was discouraged, times that I was beaten down, times that I was struggling. She gave me encouragement many different times along the way. And I think about, if I didn't have that, and I had somebody that wasn't living for God altogether, where would I be? I probably wouldn't be here this morning. I'll tell you that. I probably wouldn't be here this morning. In fact, my odds, 99.9% chances I wouldn't be here this morning. That's how strongly I feel about it. But that is one choice I don't regret. One decision that I waited and I looked to God and I prayed about. Because the influence is so far reaching. Continues on. You know, when you marry, you marry into the family too. Not just like you get your wife and you just non-existent with the rest of the family. You marry into the family. There's influence, package deal. Better pray. Better watch. Make sure. Influences. Solomon had so much to offer. God blessed him so well, so wonderfully. With blessings, wisdom, but in his old age, his heart was turned away from the Lord, from serving God with all of his heart. Also, I want to get a scripture in Galatians. I believe it's the 5th chapter. Seventh verse. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Here this congregation, they started out well. Paul preached the gospel to them. They received the message. And they run well. But all this little thought about influences. Somebody began to influence them away from Christ, back into the law. And trusting in the law for their salvation instead of trusting in Christ. And they began to go back into the law. And he said, you ran well for a time. You ran well. You did good. You know, some people say that, some people believe it prevalent in our society today that once you're saved, you're always saved. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe we can fall. I believe we can fail. I believe we can go back into sin. I believe we can somewhere along the road say, I don't want to go that way anymore. This congregation was affected. He said, you ran well for a while. You were doing good spiritually. You were living for the Lord. You were trusting in God. God was blessing you. But he said somebody's hindered you. This persuasion, this influence, this voice, this sway, this pull. A little leaven. You know, leaven, it affects the whole lump, doesn't it? You put a little leaven in the bread, it affects the entire lump. That's the way influence is. It affects our entire life. We want to guard, we want to watch the influences. We want to pray about the influences that we subject ourselves to. I know there's an influence. We meet influences in the world, and we're not going to be totally exempt. We can't. The Lord doesn't expect us to go live in a monastery somewhere and lock ourselves up. And He didn't say that. He said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But there is some degree a control of who we allow to influence us. And that's the ones that we spend a lot of time with. The ones that we associate with a lot. The ones that we have into our homes, and the ones that we choose to be around and we spend time with and we do things together. We want to be watchful and guardful. That there's an influence there that will help me. Not pull me away, but will help me in my heart and help me in my life. Because influences are very real this morning. The environment that we subject ourselves to. You know, if you're in an influence that's not very good, try to get out of it. If you're in an influence that's persuading you against what the Scriptures are teaching, what the Bible teaches, what the Bible presents as a holy life, and how to live for God, and how to be pure, and how to be separate from the world. And there's influences that cause you to do something different. Separate it. Be careful. Because influences over a period of time, they work havoc. And they can work havoc with us in our lives. I want us to remember this morning that I'm persuaded of the Lord that you and I live in a backslidden society. I am confident of that. I don't question that. I believe the Lord has helped me to see that we live in a backslidden society. And most of the influences are taking us contrary to what God wants. Things that are accepted in our generation was not accepted a generation ago. Why is that? If some of our ancestors could be resurrected, some of the old ministers can come back and tell us what it was like when they were young people and when they were children, what society was like, what would they say today? There's influences working. You know, influences, kind of the way they begin to work, it's like just gradually and almost subconsciously. It's not like you have to make an active decision that I'm not going to live for God anymore. It's just a little seed that kind of gets planted, a doubt, and is this really necessary? Do I need to be this obedient? Do I need to follow God this seriously? The enemy plants these little seeds of doubt. Well, all of these people are doing it this way. They profess an experience of salvation, and they have a testimony of being saved, and yet they do all these other things. I want us to note that we live in a backslidden society. The tendency is downward, away from God, away from spiritual living, away from consecrated living, away from holy living. And you and I have to watch against it. we have to watch and guard. Because after a while, the influences around us, and I pray sometimes, Lord, help me. Help me to see the society. Help me to see what's around. Help me to be able to visualize and understand what we're up against. Because those influences, after a period of time, can begin to wear away and work on us. You know, pretty soon, it's just like, I don't quite see it that way anymore. Things that used to be wrong, things that I used to shy against, things that were worldly. And I was cautioned and I had a distance between that and me, but now I don't quite see the danger in that anymore. We got to watch that, because influences are working and they'll draw us away from our spiritual life, from a relationship with God, and they'll cause us ultimately to miss heaven, our home, if we're not careful. I want to caution us, be careful about Hollywood. Hollywood is a big influence in our society today. Things, when you begin to just drink at Hollywood's fountain, I'll put it that way. Things begin to seem quite not as bad as what they used to be. There's a power there. There is a influence there. You ever walked in a room and there's a big movie going on, big old screen over there, and tried to visit with somebody? You ever done that? How'd your visit go? You look at the TV. Is there a power there about that thing? Or am I the only one? There's an attraction. I'd be ignorant to say there's not. To my natural man, the flesh, there's an attraction. You're drawn. Here's the noise. Here's the excitement. Look what's happening here. It's naturally, you're drawn in. I don't. There's a power about it. We need to recognize there's an influence there. And I'm not saying it's just all totally evil. I'm not saying that there's not some things that can be profitable or beneficial, but most of it, I'll say most of it, is not worth anything. It will destroy your children. It will destroy your family. It will destroy your hope of heaven if you allow that influence to continue on. I'm talking to you straight this morning. But I believe that. I believe we can lose our soul by giving too much place and room to wrong influences. That song says, "My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. Hosts of hell are pressing hard." You know, the devil is not content with you and I living victoriously, having a good spiritual life, having victory in our life. He's trying to insert influences. He's trying, and he will. He'll bring influences that begin to bear upon us. And I've read you some biblical examples this morning of people that started out good, had a testimony, had God's blessing in their heart and life. The man of God, he had power. But influence worked. They yielded influences, wrong influences. Let us be on our guard. Be watchful. Be prayerful. You know, Jesus brought one place, He talked about, He said, if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. If thy hand offends thee, cut it off. You know what that's saying to me? I don't believe that's referring to my literal hand. I could cut one of my hands off and that's not going to help me get to heaven. What that is saying to me is sometimes I've got to do drastic measures, take drastic things to cut influences off that would lead me in the wrong way, in the wrong direction. I've got to do it. My eye offends thee, pluck it out. In other words, take a drastic, whatever it takes to live for God and be faithful to Him. Another thing I wanted to say is it's going to take a commitment for God today. We're going to have to make up our minds, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve Him. You need that. As long as you're halting between two opinions, you're never going to make a success in the Christian life. You're going to be too easily influenced. Too easily sidetracked. Something comes along and then boom, there he goes. It's happened over and over. You know, you see somebody, they're on fire for God, they have a testimony, and then a few months down the road or a few years down the road, where's so-and-so? Where are they at? Oh, they're not living for the Lord anymore. They're caught up over here doing that. They're following this. Influence. And you and I are not exempt from it. We've got to be guard, watchful, and guard the influence. Another verse I wanted to share. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, there are some things that just kind of sometimes can seem real plausible. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, it will lead us astray. My soul, be on thy guard. Watch and pray. Lord, help us to guard and watch the influences in our life. Surround yourself with some good influences. Put yourself in the middle of some good godly influences that will help you, that will strengthen you, that will be a blessing. Appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me.